scripture this morning from Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Thank you, brother, for reading the scripture. Well, let's pray. Our righteous Father in heaven, we glorify and honor you this morning for all your blessings, Lord. They are so numerous we can't count them. We just honor you, Father, because we are your sons and daughters. Lord, be with us as we study a portion of your word this morning. Open our hearts, our understanding, God, that will be doers of these things and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much for coming this morning. Today's a test of discipleship. Yeah, this was a really true test because the news on the weather, I mean, was very alarming, and I was even wondering if we're going to have church today. Yes, where I worked, I heard one of my clients there telling me that he came to visit his son. He said, well, I will not go to church on Sunday. Then I asked him, why? He said, it will be 30 below zero. I said, wow, that would be terrible. So I don't know, but I have a part to play on Sunday, so I have to be. So if it is 50 below zero, I have to be there because I have to play my part. Yeah. But anyway, thank you. You know, well, I don't know whether there will be snow in heaven. The Bible doesn't speak of snow in heaven, so I mean, we have to battle with all the cold air and the ice and everything down here, preparing ourselves for that great home up there. Amen. So again, I say thank you. I mean, it's a true test of discipleship. Those of you who are here on this cold, bitter cold day, I mean, thank you for coming. God bless you. We have been having a series on the Beatitude. And between Tim, Ron, and myself. And you've heard a lot of lessons here. The first one we dealt with was blessed are the poor in spirit. Yes, blessed are the poor in spirit. And then the next one was blessed are those who mourn. And they said, no, for every beatitude, there is some kind of promise, you know. Blessed are those who mourn, they will be comforted, God will comfort them. And, you know, the third one was blessed are the meek. And I did that one. And then there was another one. Blessed are those who thirst and hunger after righteousness. And Ron did a beautiful lesson on that. And then there was another one last week. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And Ron did a good job on that. This morning we'll be dealing with Beatitude number 6, Matthew 5, verse 8. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I look at the promise in this verse as the greatest of all promises, in my opinion. I don't know what you would think, but in my opinion, I think there's the greatest promise in the whole Bible. They shall see God. There are a lot of promises that God gave us in the Holy Bible. But the promise to see Him, I believe, is what? The epitome of promises is the highest. So we have to strive by all means, with all our spiritual might, so that we can obtain a place of seeing God in the end. Hallelujah. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The greatest of promises. Even the great Moses in the Old Testament, he is known as a great lawgiver. He was a great leader. He led the children of Israel for 40 years in the desert land. That was tough. Moses did not want the job of leadership. God did not force it on him, but you know, they said when the call of God is upon you, sometimes you want to run away from the call, but you know, when the call is upon you, there is nothing you can do about that. Yes. So God called Moses out of the burning bush and appointed him as a leader over Israel to bring his people back from captivity. Amen. Even that great Moses, the great lawgiver, did not see God. But Christians are promised, and blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What a promise! Moses never saw his back. Moses did not see the full shelter of God. God turned his back and Moses saw the back. I mean, can you describe a person vividly from the back? It's hard, isn't it? But if I'm facing you face to face, I mean, I know by my face, oh yeah, that's a fun sort of thing. I saw that man with them. But all of us have our backs turned, it will be very hard to recognize a person. So we have a greater promise as Christians that we'll see God someday if we are pure in heart. Praise the Lord. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. As we are back on appointing getting appreciated for the next number of years, I don't know how long he will be here. But let's search for one that will be pure in heart. Purity is a very tough thing. The Bible says nobody is 100%. When I was walking by this morning, going to the bathroom, I heard Betsy Teddy Ron, you know, I think it was wrong. I don't know who she was talking to. They said, nobody is perfect. Nobody is 100%. Yeah, you are right. Nobody is 100%. I said, I remember I have that in my sermon. Yeah, nobody is 100%. So we all strive to be pure in heart, but it's not easy. But with God's help, we can make it. With His help, we can make it. On the flip side, curses are the impure in heart. Those who are impure in heart, they will not inherit the blessings of God. So God wants His children to be pure in heart. Purity in heart. Jesus is urging us to be pure in heart. To live this way. To live our Christian life this way. By purity of heart. We should be pure in heart. Pure in heart. I believe at one point in our lives, we were governed by our own rules. At one point in our lives, before we became Christians, I believe each of us had some rules that govern us. We were our own leaders. But now we have been converted to Jesus Christ. We have to be guided by the rules of Jesus Christ, the rules of God, which are exemplified in the Beatitude. Those are the rules of God. God wants us to live this way. Jesus says, well, this is the way I want to live. By these blessings, I'm pronouncing them. This is the way. You have to be present yourself to somebody poured in spirit so that God can spiritually fill you. You have to hunger and thirst for righteousness so that I can give my righteousness to you. You have to be meek, humble. Say, this is the way I want to live. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How does one become pure in heart? I as I told of preparing this lesson, and that question came to my mind, I said, but how does one become pure in heart? That is a tough question. Because if you look at a lot of things in the Bible, you know, the Bible said thou shalt not commit adultery. I mean, you know, it's straight to the point. You know exactly what adultery is, what a fornication, what lying is. But it said pure in heart, there's a lot in there. So how does one become pure in heart? Well, the scripture has given us some examples, some teachings, which I will not do all of this in this lesson. But I want to bring us some of these teachings, you know, maybe let us just dwell on five of them that will kind of drive us to our purity in heart. How do we become pure in heart? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure in heart is a contrite heart. Amen. Being pure in heart means being contrite in heart. Pure in heart is contrite, is a contrite heart. A heart that is willing to repent. A heart that is penitent. A heart that expresses sorrow for sin. Sorrow for wrongdoing. A heart that, you know, that pains when that heart commits sin against God. Pure in heart should lead you to contriteness. Lead you to say, oh, Father, I'm sorry for what I did. Pure in heart is a contrite heart. Is willing not to recognize our wrong and making every effort to desist from those wrongs. That's what a contrite heart does. Amen. It's a willingness of U-turn. A contrite heart is willing to, is willing to U-turn. A man with a contrite heart or a woman with a contrite heart, when he or she is going through that door and knows that that's a wrong door to go through, he or she will U-turn, will take the other door. That's contrite heart. Repentance. A contrite heart is not hoping to do the will of God. It's not feeling like doing the will of God. It's not, I will do the will of God when I like it. A contrite heart is willing, willingness to do the will of God. Hallelujah. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I'm sorry, I feel the poor in spirit. I have to use the poor in spirit. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What a promise. I don't know whether other religions have that promise, but we Christians, our promise is so great. I mean, great are the promises of God, and that's, I can't wrap my mind around that promise. We shall see God. Do you believe that? I better, because in the scriptures, I will see God. You will see God. All of us will see God. But the condition to see God is what? Being pure in heart. Having a contrite heart. A heart that is willing to say no to sin and yes to God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In Psalm 51 verse 10, David told the Lord God, after his sin with Uriah's wife, he said, oh Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. David was called a man after God's own heart. How can an adulterer be the man after God's own heart? How can a murderer be a person after God's own heart? It's unimaginable. But David was a person after God's own heart because David was very penitent. When David sinned, he realized his mistake and he U-turned. He was penitent. He was contrite in heart. Hallelujah. Blessed are the pure in heart. For they are promised the blessing of seeing the Lord God. This is a prerequisite to discipleship. We have to be pure in heart. Contritness. Feeling sorry for our sins and throwing them to the winner. To see God in the world to come, we have to be pure in heart. Hallelujah. The contrite hearts will see God. Those who contrite hearts will see God. How does one become pure in heart? The next point I have is pure in heart is an obedient heart. If you are pure in heart, not only you are contrite in heart, feeling sorry for your sins, not only you are willing to repent from those sins, but you want to obey the Lord in all and any circumstance. Pure in heart. One who is pure in heart is of an obedient heart. It's a heart willing to please God regardless of the circumstances. A heart willing to stand for the Lord, even if it means persecution, even if it means to the death. Purity is not a small thing. It can even cost our lives. But there's a blessing, it's a blessing of pure in heart, for they shall see God. I'm glad I'm part of that promise. I'm glad you are part of that promise. We have to strive individually. As I gave a sermon here one time, so the church should not be judged as a church of Christ, as a group. We'll be judged, appear before the judgment seat of God, and what? Be judged individually, presenting those sins that we did in this life. And one of those sins that God expects of us is what? Being pure in heart. On the day of judgment, when he asked our friends, how pure were you in heart? Were you pure in heart? Did you hear that command that I told you? I remember you preached a sermon, Hitman Road Church. You preached on purity in heart. How well did you do that, my servant? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure heart is an obedient heart. An obedient heart. It's not a heart that postpones obedience to God. You say, I will be obedient to God next year. Or I will start my devotion to God after a week or two. I will start my devotion tomorrow. Tomorrow has no guarantee. Yeah. If I were guaranteed tomorrow, I'm telling you, I would have pulled off a lot of stuff, I'm telling you. Let me be frank with you. I will pull off a lot of stuff in my life because I know I have a guarantee for tomorrow. But there is no guarantee for tomorrow with God. The only time is now. We cannot postpone obedience to God. Obedience to God is right now. Purity of heart for obedience, we have to strive for now. Not tomorrow, not next year, not 3 years from now, not 10 years from now. Well, I don't know. I remember 2010. I was lying down in my hospital bed. I could have died, right? Sometimes we don't want to mention death. I could have died. I was sick to the death. But God healed me. I'm just saying this to say that we don't have, and tomorrow is not a guarantee. I would have died at that time. So we have to always strive for our purity in heart because we don't know when God will call us home. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us prepare. Nobody is perfect 100%. Nobody has 100% purity in heart. But let's look at the example of King David. David was very penitent, as I said. If we are penitent like David was penitent, then we appear in heart. Hallelujah. If God declares a man righteous, that man is righteous indeed. Moses was a murderer. Didn't he kill in Egypt? He did, right? But he's the meekest man that ever lived. The Apostle Paul was a murderer. He didn't have pure heart before meeting Jesus Christ. But when Jesus met him and turned the situation around, God declared him righteous. And he was a righteous Paul. Hallelujah. When God declares you righteous, when God declares that you are pure in heart, you become pure in heart. Even though we cannot be 100% pure in heart. Hallelujah. Pure in heart is an obedient heart. We cannot postpone obedience. We cannot say, well, I will obey God when I'm happy. When I feel happy, when everything is moving, when everything is roses, you know, I will obey the Lord. But when I'm sad, I will disobey Jehovah God. No, you can't draw that line. Obedience should be all the time. We say, we cannot postpone it. Because we are not guaranteed for tomorrow. There is no guarantee. Pure in heart is an obedient heart. You can't put it off. There is no day off with God. There is no calling in sick with God. Sometimes at our job, you know, when sometimes we call in sick, say, I don't feel like going today. Oh, can you give me a day off? We ask our master, our supervisor, to give a day off. But with Jehovah God, there is no day off in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We have to be ready at all times because the Lord can just pull his plug any time and we are dead. And there is no more time. No day off. No calling in sick. You can't call in sick from the church. You say, Marian, today, I mean, snow, and, you know, they said this thing would be below, I mean, 50 below zero, and Marian, I'm just calling, you are the elder, and I'm calling Saturday because I will come next week. Man. It's impossible. God has no day off. His children don't have. Pure in heart. Is an obedient heart. Except we live an obedient life as children of God, it will be hard for us to see God in the New Jerusalem. It will be a difficult thing. Let us strive to be people of an obedient heart. Amen. In Acts 26 verse 19, when Paul was arrested for preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified, and then he appeared before King Agrippa, the great king in those days, in 26:19, Paul said, "Oh, King Agrippa, I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision." Paul was obedient to the Lord. He was a man of purity in heart. Heart is a loving heart. A heart that expresses love for one another. Love first towards God and then love towards our fellow man. Pure to your heart. Love is two-sided. From the scriptural point of view, love is vertical and horizontal. Vertical direct towards God and then towards our fellow man. God saying is, well, how will you know, how do you prove that you know that you love me? If you hate your own brothers and sisters. Love is the greatest of all God's commandments. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they
shall see God. What a promise. It is my hope and prayer that God will help me to attain to that promise. It is my prayer for you too, that God will help you, all of us, to attain to that promise of seeing God one day. That's a comforting promise. Pure in heart is a loving heart. It's a loving heart. Loving heart does not discriminate. Loving heart does not care what color you are. Loving heart does not care whether you are black, white, or chocolate. Loving heart does not care for your race, whether you are Caucasian or Asian, whether you are European or African. Loving heart does not care. Loving heart spreads love across the earth. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure in heart, pure hearters. Pure hearters are those who express the love of God through living by love. Hallelujah. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God by loving without discrimination, by loving regardless of the situation, regardless of your social standing, your prestige, your status in life. Nope. No, I don't know what to compare love to. I will compare love to the air that we breathe. Praise the Lord. Who in the world can pay for the air that we breathe? We all receive it free of charge, right? Whether you are rich, you are poor, you have what? Breathe God's oxygen. Is this it? Yes. I mean, just look at love in that way. Love should be spread across the earth, across the world, across every sphere of society. Regardless of whether you are rich, poor, or what have you. So pure in heart, you have to have a heart of love for each other. A heart of love for one another. Because if we are not pure in heart, the Bible is saying we will not see God. To see the God that we worship up there in heaven, we must, I mean, it's a condition. We must be pure in heart by displaying our love to one another and to God. We must display agape love. Love is deeply expressed in three letters. J-O-Y, joy. Jesus first, others second, we are last. J-O-Y. Jesus, others, yourself. Pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure in heart is a loving heart. Except we love with an agape love, heaven will not be our home. We will not see the master and the maker of the universe. Our hope is to see you someday. But if we are not pure in heart, there is a serious question mark. Let us strive to be pure. Let us strive to be pure in heart by expressing our love to one another, not only in this building, but outside there, and bringing people to Christ who have not heard the gospel. Praise the Lord. Pure in heart is a just heart. A heart that is just. A heart that is fair. A heart that is impartial. A heart that does not think of itself. A heart that is not selfish. That's a just heart. So to qualify as pure in heart, so that we can see God, we have to be just in our dealings. we have to be fair to one another, fair to the poor, fair to the widow, fair to the rich, fair to everybody. That's spirit in your heart. We should give us a place to see God in the future. Pure in heart. We see God. We must see God. That's what we are hoping to achieve. How pure am I in heart? How pure are you in heart? I said from the onset of this lesson, I said, well, it's a difficult question. Purity is not a small thing. But if we strive to a certain level, then what God declares us righteous and say, my son or my daughter, you are pure in heart. Let us strive to be pure in heart. A just heart. Hallelujah. And my final point is, pure in heart is a sincere heart. A heart that is truthful. I think it said that honesty is the best policy, right? I think I heard that over and over. Yeah, I think they are so, yes, they are right. It's the best policy. Because if you live your life by honesty, I mean, if the whole world was living by honesty, I mean, there would be no war. There would be no problem. There would be no famine. But it's hard for everyone, for everybody to just live honest lives. So a pure heart is a sincere, honest heart. It's a sincere heart. Oh, I'm honest, a sincere heart, yes. Oh, I will only show you my good side. Well, Joya, how are you, my yes? Yes. Oh, then you are there smiling, you know what I mean? No, bursting with laughter and well, I feel, well, deep down within your heart, you know that you are not happy. So don't pretend to ourselves. When somebody asks, oh, man, oh yeah, Alfonso, how are you? I say, I'm good. But you know, deep down in your inner man, you are not good. There is a serious war going on within your body. But it's so good. I'm fine. Sometimes we lie to ourselves. We got to be sincere with ourselves. If we are not sincere, we are not pure in heart. Therefore, we will not see God. I can only show you my good side. I can't show, oh no. My bad side, no, I will not show you that, but I will show you my good side. That is not true sincerity. Pure in heart. A sincere heart does not tell lies. It says the truth and lives by the truth. Hallelujah. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the sincere in heart, for they shall see God. As I mentioned sincerity, I'm reminded of Nathaniel, one of Jesus' early followers, in John 1:47. Jesus saw Nathaniel from far off coming. He said, here comes a true Israelite, in whom there is no guile, in whom there is no deceit, in whom there is no insincerity. Then Nathaniel said, oh Lord, but how did you know me? How did you see me? Say, I saw you when you were sitting under the fig tree. Hallelujah. God knew Nathaniel from head to toe. And you knew that you were a sincere, honest man. Can Jesus Christ say that of us? Can he say to me, Alfonso, here I come. Say, Alfonso. A true child of God. A man in whom there is no guile. There is no deceit. Can he say that of me? Can he say that of you? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure heart is a heart of sincerity. We must be sincere in heart in order to see God in the new heaven and the new earth. Hallelujah. The Bible has promised us through Jesus Christ that there will be a new heaven and a new earth someday. But in order to inherit that, in order to see God in that place, we have to be sincere Christians, people pure in heart. pure in heart. Pure in heart. Sometimes we, certain people, now, when you come there, some people will smile for no reason, you know. Some people put on false smiles. They are not sincere. They smile, you know, because, you know, I mean, maybe someone told them to smile, you know, because of the culture or upbringing. But I think smile should be done with the proper reason, with proper sincerity. Because we are Christians and we need to be sincere. We need to be sincere as children of God in order to qualify to see God in the end. A sincere heart does not pretend. If a heart is sincere, it doesn't pretend to be who he or she is not. Let God help us to be sincere hearters, those with sincere hearts, so that in the end, we can see God. Hallelujah. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In conclusion this morning, we had a brother in the church in Liberia, and he was one of the first to come to the United States. During those days, I was thinking about America, but there was no way to come. So he came and he went back to Liberia to visit us. And then he told the congregation, said, well, I will talk to the brothers, and I'll contact some brothers and what have you to send you some free clothes. And this was during the war. And then he gave that promise, and after some time, the clothes did not arrive. No clothes arrived, there was no apology. And so because of that lie, that insincerity, some people fell from the Church of Christ. And some became Muslims. Can you imagine that? One little lie can cause very serious problem. We gotta be people who are sincere spirit and sincere in heart. As we stand this morning to sing our song of encouragement and invitation, it is my prayer that God will help us through this message to strive to be people pure in heart, to be obedient to the Lord, to be sincere, to be loving and caring, to be just, so that in the end, when that day comes, we will see God. Hallelujah. Let's turn to sing our song of encouragement. If you need prayer this morning, you can come forward. God's hand is forever open to accept us. If you need the prayer of the church, if you want to give your life, I don't know where God and visit us here. You want to turn your life over to Jesus Christ. In the water of grateful baptism, you are also welcome. May God bless us all and help us to be people of sincere heart, so that in the end, we'll see God. May the Lord bless us and keep us. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening.